you. You may be seated. Well, my guess is that what is true for me is pretty much true for you, especially as I find myself getting older. Now, it's not going to be particularly true for our acolytes and some of you younger people, but those of us who are getting a little bit older, I am finding this to be more and more true, and that is my memory is just not what it used to be. You laugh, but it finding that to be truer and truer. I may not be as bad as the man in that old joke. I mean, you probably heard before. A man went to see his doctor, and he said, "Doc, I'm having trouble remembering much of anything at all." And the doctor said, "Well, how long have you been having this problem?" And he said, "What problem?" And we joke and we laugh because there's a painful truth to it, particularly as we find ourselves older. And I will confess to you that there are some days that I can't remember the name of a very close friend that I've known for years and years and years, and it's not there. But yet, I can remember the most asinine and stupid detail from years ago, some little trivial fact. You find yourself that way? Like the things that my brain chooses to hold on to, like the lyrics to the Flintstones cartoon, I remember with immense detail. Remember the Flintstones? You remember the theme song? Okay. Let's go with the family down the street. What's the next line? Courtesy of Fred's toothpaste. Why? Why? Then I'll forget some very important detail. But we do that. We do that. Memory kind of works the way that it doesn't work the way that we want to. It kind of leaves us in some embarrassing moments, and there's other times when we're crystal clear on things that don't really matter. But one thing I think we all can agree on, and that is that memory is important, and there is power in remembering who we are, remembering our history. Remembering the past helps us to encounter the future. You agree? When we remember the past and important things, we remember the future. And it's important to never forget some things. I don't know if you're a Lord of the Rings fan. I am. But if you remember in the movie, in the opening monologue, the narrator is sort of giving the setting and the backstory. And she says this. She says, "Some things that should have never been forgotten were lost. History became legend. Legend became myth. And for 2,500 years, the ring passed out of knowledge." Now, Tolkien, as I'm sure you know, was a devout Christian. And there was lots of Christian imagery in The Lord of the Rings. And I think he's reminding us that there's some things that we should never forget. Because there's power in remembering. And when we forget who we are and whose we are. This Sunday is a very interesting, at least for me, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. It's a very interesting intersection of dates and times. This Sunday, particular Sunday, November 5th, 2017. Because last Sunday, we celebrated our 165th anniversary as a church. And that was powerful. That was incredible. And if you go out into the halls there, you can see some memorabilia that Judy Moran and her committee have put together that remind us and show us of the legacy. People that we had all but forgotten. People whose shoulders we stand on, whose legacy we live out. 165 years ago, there was the vision to begin this church. It's just an amazing thing. And Mike Morgan did such an incredible job, Reverend Mike Morgan. And he talked about, you know, how important this church, but how important this sanctuary was in his faith development. He talks about standing here, kneeling here at this altar for confirmation, for baptism. He talked about being here for his mother's funeral and then the wedding of Tommy and Donna years later. That this had been this sanctuary, this holy space, had been so important and so vital and so instrumental in his faith development. And if we had time to go around, just in this room alone, we could talk about that among ourselves, of the important and holy moments that we've had in this room in particular, but being a part of this church. As I stand here week after week, I am humbled by two things. One is just to think about the long line of great preachers that have stood in this pulpit and preached sermons over the years. Some whose names we wouldn't recognize unless we've been a student of our history and looked at the gallery of pastors out there. But yet, we're here and shaped and continued and passed. And all of those pastors, cumulatively, just think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons that have been preached from this very place. Thousands and thousands and thousands. I didn't do the math, but it's a lot, right? So that's humbling, but it's humbling for me in this way too. Because how many of those sermons do you remember? You've heard hundreds and thousands of sermons. You've heard me preach several hundred. And I don't want you to feel bad because, you know, I can't remember what I preached 2 weeks ago myself. But here's the thing. It's a different kind of remembering when we're talking about that sort of faith development. I heard a story once. You might have heard it as well. A guy went to one of his friends and he says, "You know what? I'm not going to go to church anymore. You know, it's just not worth it. I've been going to church and listening to sermons all my life. I've heard hundreds of sermons. I don't remember any of them, or very few." And his friend said, "Well, think about it this way. All of my life, I've been eating meals, usually three meals a day. My mother made me many meals. My wife now makes me meals. I don't remember very many of them, but I know that if I hadn't have eaten them, I would be dead. Because they have nourished me over the years. We need that food." And so that's the kind of memory we have when it comes to our faith development. It's kind of a collective memory in which we may not remember exactly when and where we heard what, but it becomes who we are. And it gets into our memory in a powerful way that forms us and transforms us and makes our very being. And so 165 years is celebrated last Sunday that has happened here in our church. And very important life events, as I just look around this room, I know they have. Well, your children have been baptized. You've been married and buried and great high moments of worship here in this room. 165 years. So that was Sunday. And then Tuesday was what? It was Halloween, yes, and that was fun. We had a great time with our Halloween dance that we had out here on the lawn. But it was also another very important day. It was Reformation Day, right? Halloween, and that was 500 years ago, 1517, that Martin Luther realized that maybe some things that shouldn't have been forgotten had been forgotten, and some ways that should not have happened were happening within the church. And so he went to that church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he now nailed up those 95 theses, and he began what we now call the Protestant Reformation. It called us back as a church, as a people, called us back into remembering who we were. So that was Tuesday. And then this next Saturday is what? Veterans Day. And Veterans Day is important because it's a day in which we remember to thank our veterans, both living and those that have fallen. and thank them for their service, and to realize that freedom is not free. And so it is important to remember that. That's part of who we are, that we should never forget. Should never forget the price that was paid for this country, the men and women that served it. And so that's next Saturday. And I guess I'll just throw this in too. Next Sunday, in the afternoon, kind of pales in comparison in some way, but it's our charge conference here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's something that happens every... And why do I mention that? Because that's when we celebrate what's happened in that one calendar year. And goals are made, and there's an accountability that happens as we make our report for the conference and for our district superintendent who's presiding over. And so that's an important thing. And so we have those things. We're standing in between that, and we come to this Sunday, which is All Saints. All Saints. All Saints is an important celebration. I've already mentioned earlier in the service, because we have been shaped by the lives of folks that have come before us. And there is power in remembering. Throughout the Bible, we read about the power of memory. You know, the Jewish people, they lived that out in many ways, particularly in the festivals that they would have, because those festivals would commemorate some incredible, important events. For example, Passover was a time in which they, and actually have a living meal in which they're teaching their children within the Passover meal about their deliverance out of slavery in Egypt. And so that festival of Passover, and there's other festivals that go through, and there's this sort of remembering and recalling and telling the stories. There's power in remembering. You know, the psalmist said, "I will tell of my God's great work. I will be reminded of the wonderful works He has done for us." And then there's the memory and the remembrance that comes from our core scripture this morning. It's one that's familiar to you. It's one that's probably got in that other part, not the frontal cortex, but it's got back there in your memory. It's become part of you because it's part of our communion liturgy. It comes from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. And Paul is talking about the power of remembering. And I want you to remember that at the time that this was spoken, there had been, you know, a little bit of time between the time that Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper on that first Maundy Thursday and the beginning of the early church, and now some 20 years or so later, Paul is reminding them of who they were. And he says, "For I received," he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed, He took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after the supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" In our scripture, the Apostle Paul is saying that Jesus was instituting to His disciples this holy meal so that His followers, when they need Him, really, really need Him, that the Spirit will be there guiding and shaping the way together. It's a powerful thing when memory and Scripture come together. And Jesus encouraged His disciples to remember most notably in the upper room. Most notably in the upper room. You know, Jesus taught wonderful things. Things that we should never forget and try to live out ourselves. But the one thing, one time that He said, "Remember this," was at this table, was at the Lord's Supper. Remember this. Because I think He knew that we needed that. We needed this sort of tactile reminder of his life and his death and his resurrection, which is celebrated in that meal. And we needed to have the extra sensory effect of tasting so that we could see that the Lord was good. And so in the bread and in the cup, we discover redemption. You see, what we're doing here on Sundays, in case you wondered, excuse me, what we're doing here is we're making memories. Did you know that? That's what we're doing together. Sometimes funny things happen in the service, and sometimes sad things, and sometimes we're comforted and challenged in other ways, but we are making memories that become sort of this collective memory of faith that is formed within us. A vital part of collective faith as a congregation of believers is the making of memories for those who will follow us. How indeed will we be remembered? I encourage you to ask that question of yourself over and over as you journey through your life of faith with these people who we share the road with, these people in the pews around us, and in your faith as an individual Christian as well. It is then the answer to that question that memories in this place will indeed be made. One of the most difficult and profoundly sad things that happens in Alzheimer's is when people begin to lose their memory. And I dare say that most everyone here has probably had a friend or a family member, or even it's something you worry about within your own self about Alzheimer's. And I've, over the years, had many church members and friends of church members, family members of church members who were stricken with this debilitating disease. And from time to time, I've been called on to go and bring communion to them. And I remember this one occasion that happened not too long ago. A friend of mine who I had actually grown up with asked me if I would come and bring communion to her mother, who I also knew, who actually was one of the women in our church that shaped me as I was recalling in my mind that person. You know, it could have very well been her. She was one of the saints in our church in the day. And she had suffered from Alzheimer's. And so when I went that day, she didn't remember me. She didn't remember my name. In fact, she didn't even remember her son's name. And so we sat together and talked the best that we could. And then we moved into communion. And as we moved into communion, I said the Lord's Prayer, just as we said the Lord's Prayer here today. And I was looking at her as we said that, and I watched her, and her lips began to form. And she began, the first thing she had said, she began to speak very softly along with us as we were talking about, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." And I realized that it connected with something, it connected with memory. And look, I understand the way the brain works. And I know that it's a different part, and you know, you have the frontal cortex where all this stuff is going on, and you've got other regions where that, you know, scientifically live. But I believe that in that, within that, is that these profound things of faith, things like Amazing Grace, the Apostles' Creed, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, these get into a part of our memory that becomes a DNA. And even when we might have forgotten everything else, somehow or another, it lives on within us. And so as it came time to give her Holy Communion, I took the bread. She couldn't take it herself. And she dipped the juice. And, you know, I placed it up to her mouth. And her son helped her. And she took and ate the bread and the juice, and she seemed to know in that moment I've given communion to people, I don't know how many times in my life, thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And I do remember some occasions. But that is one that I do remember. And there's a power in there because it reminded me of the importance of memory, but also the importance of what we sometimes do in sharing. Because there are people that literally, but also figuratively, need us to serve them, to take the bread and the juice and to place it to their lips so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. What will live on with us? You know, because of the saints, we have not forgotten what should never have been forgotten is the Lord of the Rings begins. We've remembered because people have told us and taught us and showed us. And as we celebrate the saints today, we celebrate that we continue that legacy by teaching our children so that they may know and serve and become. We live our lives in memory of Jesus, in memory of the saints, and this memory is real presence. Jesus and His saints are part of our most intimate and spiritual knowledge of God. When we talk about the communion of saints, what we're attesting in faith there, they are the source of our constant transformation. And so we carry out this work as we live and serve. We're going to come now to our time of Holy Communion and also the remembering of the saints of our church. I'm going to ask, if you will, to take your hymn books. I recite their name. There'll be a chime and a candle that will be lit. You're invited, if you're a family member or if you were a friend or they influenced you in some way, if you would like to stand out of honor and memory for them, I invite you to do so. And so we ask, O God, that You would renew our communion with all Your saints, especially those whom we name before You this day. Dorothy Clark. Geneva Piper Kirkus. Sharon Davis. Kathy Harper. Marilyn Brannon. Kirk Barbary. Corey Pierce. You're seated. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray, Almighty God, Your people of all the ages live and praise You without ceasing. In our communion with You, we have communion with generations past and generations yet unborn. Before Your throne, we are one with a great multitude which no one can number. And in praising You, we join with those from every nation. Grant to Your church on earth, then as we celebrate the triumph of Your saints in glory, we may profit by their example and enter with them into the inexpressible joy You have prepared for those who love You. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There is power in remembering. But as you go forth from this place today, I want you to remember that there are things that we should always remember, but then there are many things that we should never forget. Never forget that God loves you. Never forget that we are called to go and to make disciples. Never forget that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. And never forget that there are those who live and walk in darkness who will never know the light unless we tell them and show them. We show them by His love. So go and never forget and be His hands and feet as you serve.